Naboo Power Make Up! Created by Opal Song. Magical girl AUs this year, and I just finished recording one about the original trilogy of Star Wars, and now I'm going to record one about the prequel trilogy of Star Wars. So if you want a continuation of this that was recorded first, when all of these come out, listen to that. Keep an eye out for it. So, magical girl AU, prequels era Star Wars. And I decided that I didn't want the magical girl powers to be at all force related. So inheriting them couldn't be a destiny thing or any of that sort of jazz. What I figured out instead, and therefore I didn't really want Anakin to be a magical girl. I didn't really want Obi-Wan to be a magical girl. I want Padme to be a magical girl. And I want it to be a power that is handed down through the Naboo royal, it's handed down through Naboo royalty. And so, and that is one of the reasons why Naboo want young kids. I know that that's also their, the way they think politically is they want young kids to be there, to lead them forward. But also because magical girls are, young kids, 15-ish or whatever. That's sort of your peak as a magical girl or something. And so when you get elected into being the monarch on Naboo, you are also given this brooch, hairpiece, etc., some piece of jewelry that is extra bedazzled, that then allows you to become an iteration of the planet's protector. And so that adds a whole new dimension to Padme and protecting her planet. And while my instinct is fix everything, you can't really fix everything and then have everything also go poorly. and create the original trilogy, that sort of thing. And since I already did an original trilogy one, I don't really want to fix everything to do that. So I have to keep everything utmost tragic. But yeah, it would, for some reason, it doesn't change the events of canon. But it would be just this thing that Padme has access to. She can actually fight really well. I mean, she can fight in canon as well. But, she has this ability to transform into this magical girl to fight the evil in the universe. And it's her duty to do so, which is one of the reasons why, not just curiosity, but that's one of the reasons why she goes out into the Tatooine, why she goes with the group into Tatooine. Because first off, her handmaidens know that she that she can transform into the magical girl, and so can probably defend herself from anything that's attacking her. And also, she needs to, possibly slip away, transform into a magical girl and clean the place up for a little bit. So I'm trying to think about implications of this, implications that won't, break canon, because most of the implications would break canon. I do think maybe if we're adding to tragedy that at some point, so I think, eventually, within the jump from episode 1 to episode 2, Padme is obviously no longer queen. Now she's a senator, which means she's had to give up these magical girl powers to her successor, right? And so that's great. I'm trying to figure out how to get it so that she can give it to her kids without totally breaking the Naboo, culturally how she can do that. I might hand wave it. I do think that if somehow she is able to keep transforming into a magical girl and she does have this sort of she is sort of moonlighting as a magical girl and really trying to help with this whole war thing and all of that jazz with the magical girl powers on top of everything, on top of all of her senatorial work. And maybe that's why they allow her to continue using it, is because she is in a place where she can do more good with it than Naboo. And now that the humans and Gungans on Naboo are both working together, I think maybe the Gungan magical girl has, you know, promised to cover the entire planet while they give Padme this locket, hairpiece, whatever, to go on, like, making changes. So she does that. And I think that in episode 3, one of the things that really drives Anakin, like, causes him to distrust Padme further, is that I think he finds out at some point that she is this magical girl. Like, first he figures out that she's leaving at odd hours and that she's out all night and that sort of thing, which is easy for Palpatine to imply that she's cheating on him, and that maybe the babies aren't his or that sort of thing. And then eventually he does find out that she is a magical girl, and then just it's this giant secret that she didn't tell him, so how can he trust anything that she says? And so it's actually something that pushes them further away. And I'm going to change the whole "I died in childbirth from a broken heart," or possibly a, like, ambiguous cross-galaxy force choke or something, to she shows up, and I don't know whether she will have had the babies already or whether she is still very heavily pregnant, but she shows up because Anakin has turned into one of the things that she needs to fight. And so she shows up in magical girl form. Anakin knows that it's her, and they fight before Obi-Wan even gets there. They fight, and Anakin straight up is like, "You have betrayed me, blah, 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 blah." And she'll have had the kids at this point. The visions of her dying in childbirth didn't account for her, like, maybe there were no visions of her dying in childbirth, or they were extremely false. Maybe it was all just like, "Oh, she's cheating on you," etc. type thing. Anyway, she's had the kids and she's like, "I've hidden them from you. You'll never find them." And then he, like, straight up murders her. No ambiguity about it. And Obi-Wan finds her body after his entire fight with Anakin, which goes about the same. And he finds her body, and which has transformed back, and makes sure that all of her things are divided up between the kids. And one of those things is this, like, super bejeweled hairpin or whatever. And it's one of the, and it's the only thing that he manages, like, I think he manages just to, like, tuck it in the blanket with Luke as Luke is being sent to Tatooine. And it's, like, one of the only things he can actually send with Luke to Tatooine or something like that. And then in some time between the original trilogy and the sequel, between Luke and Leia, they figure out what the bejeweled thing is, and they return it to Naboo, or at least attempt to return it to Naboo. And there's, you know, stuff there. So Naboo gets its cultural artifact back. The end. Happy holidays, Rena Jenkins.